Margaret Wheatley said, without reflection, we go blindly our way, creating more unintended consequences and failing to achieve anything useful. Another great author, Jack Richards, with more of a teaching-related background, says that most teachers get most of their teaching skills really, really early on, probably in the first 6 months or the first year of their careers. He also says that reflection helps us to move beyond the level of automatic responses in the classroom situations. So much of what we do in the classroom is automatic or automated. We do it without even thinking about it. Unless we start to reflect on things, we definitely do not want to become robots in the classroom who just begin to respond to things without even thinking about what we are doing. I began to think about many of the teacher training courses that I have attended that tend to focus on imitation. Here's a skill that I want you to learn. Now do what I did with your students. The most telling adage is one about experience. Teachers who have 5 years of experience fall into two distinct categories. Teachers who have 5 years of experience and teachers who have 1 year of experience repeated 5 times. In my opinion, the difference between the two is that one of them has reflected and keeps getting better, and one of them just keeps blindly doing the same thing again and again. Practice does not make perfect, but practice plus reflection makes perfect. Now let's talk about the course. First, changing educational paradigms are changing curriculum. Teachers design each curriculum with a specific educational purpose in mind, and the ultimate goal is to improve student learning. There are three unique parts of a curriculum development process. The first is the development, and that is part an informal and a formal process, and it often emerges from necessity as learners will demonstrate a critical need or a high degree of interest. The second is curriculum planning and development, and this is a process of looking at the standards in each subject area and developing a strategy to break down these standards so that they can be taught to our students. And then there is curriculum design, which encompasses an act of making intentional, reflective choices on how an activity or a course or curriculum will lead to a desired outcomes for student learning. These intentional choices form a learning environment in which students follow an instructional path as they become more disciplined and knowledgeable. Throughout this course, I've learned a lot of information about curriculum development, and I've learned that curriculum development is defined as a planned process, a purposeful process, one that's progressive and systematic to create a positive improvements in the educational system, and that every time there are changes or developments happening around the world, because we live in a global, holistic world, the school curriculum is affected. Throughout my teaching careers, I have seen curriculum adapt and change to fit the needs of society. Standards have adjusted to meet the demands of ever-changing work environments, and as society realizes that new skills are needed and new previous skills are not currently as important, we adjust our curriculum to meet those needs. I watched and listened to Sir Ken Robinson talk about changing educational paradigms. I read about defining curriculum by Stark and Luktuka, and I learned a lot about the student-centered curriculum as described by Cullen. Posner talked about the theoretical perspectives on curriculum, and I read about the research on adult learners, making sure that I was applying that to my non-traditional CIM graduate students. As we were reading about Cullen and the learner-centered curriculum, we also began discussing Fink and significant learning experiences. You ask the following questions. Number one, what specific knowledge have you gained in this course, and how might you apply this knowledge going forward in your career? The research presented in the course reaffirmed my position on developing a learner-centered curriculum, as I have been doing for many, many years. Number two, what specific new skills have you gained as a result of your learning in this course? How might you apply and use these skills going forward in your career? As Cullen stated, using a variety of resources to teach is a plus in any curriculum, for the main reason that going from writing to playing an educational game keeps the students from becoming in a virtual fog, which could in turn lower their interest in any sort of subject matter. The innovative use of educational technologies has provided higher education institutions a valuable opportunity to design media-enhanced, interactive, and more inclusive and more engaging learning environments. My key motivation for incorporating educational technologies into my curriculum is the desire to improve engagement and the learning of my students. The use of multimedia has provided so many opportunities to present multiple representations of content. It's presented in my courses in text, video, audio, images, and interactive elements, which caters effectively to the different learning styles and increasing diversity of my student body. Number three, as you consider the various frameworks presented in this course, which do you like most and why? How might you apply and use them going forward in your career? Remember good old Thomas Friedman, who was the author of The World is Flat? He refers to a 21st century world that will be different from the one that we were educated in. In order for our students to be able to survive and thrive in this globally competitive world, we need to be teaching them creativity, problem-solving skills, a passion for learning, a dedicated work ethic, and some lifelong learning opportunities. I try to do this in all of my courses. Best practices are an inherent part of curriculum, and it exemplifies the connection and relevance identified in the educational research that we've learned. When L.D. Fink described in his integrated course design that teaching is a complex human action and that there are many tasks that are involved, and these tasks generally comprise four general components. He talks about the knowledge of the subject matter, decisions about the purpose and nature of the learning experience, your interactions with students through the lectures and discussions, and the management of the entire instructional event. In a nutshell, he states that the degree to which these tasks are performed well affects the quality of the learning experience that the students have in your course. He says that the problem of designing and managing what he calls an instructional event is the responsibility of the faculty member who, in many cases, are the least prepared to be able to do this. And at the same time, this area is probably the most crucial one in determining whether or not students have a significant rather than a boring learning experience. As we all know, and as Fink described, the purpose of instruction or any sort of other learning activity is the promotion of student learning. All decisions relating to a course and a learning experience, from the selection of reading materials to the assessment process, should be judged as to their contribution to attain this goal of promoting student learning. I try to use integrated course design in all of my courses, and I will continue to do so. I do know that this type of integrated course design requires a significant investment in time and energy and thought, but the return on my investment is a significant increase in learning in the classroom. And it is well worth my investment in time and energy. My deepest reflection from this course is that all curriculum and instruction should be fluid and change in response to a changing political world, a changing social climate, and a changing toolbox of teaching methodologies. Unfortunately, the realm of higher education has often been static. Now, the question is not merely how and what to teach, but more of an awareness that we all learn in different ways. And circling back to Sir Ken Robinson, educational paradigms are changing, and curriculum development needs to change with it.